Chapter 31. Holden. Something was moving in Holden's gut. He ignored it and kept his eyes on Miller's back. The lanky detective barreled down the corridor toward the port, stopping occasionally at junctions to peek around the corner and look for trouble. Miller had become a machine. All Holden could do was try to keep up. Always the same distance ahead were the mercenaries who'd been guarding the exit from the casino. When they moved, Miller moved. When they slowed down, he slowed. They were clearing a path to the port, but if they thought that any of the citizens were getting too close, they'd probably open fire. They were definitely shooting anyone they ran into along the way. They'd already shot two people who'd run at them. Both had been vomiting brown goo. Where the hell did those vomit zombies come from so fast? He thought. Where the hell did those vomit zombies come from so fast? He said to Miller's back. The detective shrugged with his left hand, his right still clutching his pistol. I don't think enough of that crap came out of Julie to infect the whole station, he replied without slowing down. I'm guessing they were the first batch. The ones they incubated to get enough goo to infect the shelters with. That made sense. And when the controlled portion of the experiment went to shit, you just turned them loose on the populace. By the time people figured out what was going on, half of them were infected already. Then, it was just a matter of time. They paused briefly at a corridor intersection, watching as the leader of the Merc group stopped 100 meters ahead and talked on his radio for a minute. Holden was gasping and trying to catch his breath when the group started up again, and Miller moved to follow. He reached out and grabbed the detective's belt and let Miller drag him along. Where did the skinny belter keep this reserve of energy? The detective stopped. His expression was blank. They're arguing, Miller said. Huh? The leader of that group and some of the men. Arguing about something, Miller replied. So? Holden asked, then coughed something wet into his hand. He wiped it off on the back of his pants, not looking to see if it was blood. Please don't let it be blood, he thought. Miller shrugged with his hand again. I don't think everyone's on the same team here, he said. The Merc group turned down another corridor, and Miller followed, yanking Holden along behind him. These were the outer levels, filled with warehouse space and ship repair and resupply depots. They didn't see a lot of foot traffic at the best of times. Now, the corridor echoed like a mausoleum with their footsteps. Up ahead, the Merc group turned again, and before Miller and Holden could reach the junction, a lone figure wandered into view. He didn't appear to be armed, so Miller moved toward him cautiously, impatiently reaching behind himself and pulling Holden's hand off his belt. Once he was free, Miller held up his left hand in an unmistakably cop-like gesture. This is a dangerous place to be wandering around, sir, he said. The man was now less than 15 meters ahead of them and began moving toward them at a lurch. He was dressed for a party, in a cheap tuxedo with a frilly shirt and sparkly red bow tie. He was wearing one shiny black shoe, the other foot covered with only a red sock. Brown vomit trickled from the corners of his mouth and stained the front of his white shirt. Shit, Miller said, and brought up his gun. Holden grabbed his arm and yanked it back down. He's innocent in this, Holden said, the sight of the injured and infected man making his eyes burn. He's innocent. He's still coming, Miller said. So walk faster, Holden said. And if you shoot anyone else, and I haven't given you permission to, you don't get a ride on my ship. Got me? Trust me, Miller said. Dying is the best thing that could happen to that guy today. You're not doing him any favors. You don't get to decide that, Holden replied, his tone edging into real anger. Miller started to reply, but Holden held up one hand and cut him off. You want on the Rossi? I'm the boss, then. No questions, no bullshit. Miller's smirk turned into a smile. Yes, sir, he said. Our mercs are getting ahead of us. He pointed down the corridor. Miller nodded and moved off again at his steady, machine-like pace. Holden didn't turn around, but he could hear the man Miller had almost shot crying in the corridor behind him for a long time. To cover up the sound, which probably existed only in his head once they'd made a couple more turns in the corridor, he began humming the theme to Misko and Marisco again. Mother Elise, who'd been the one to stay home with him when he was very young, had always brought him something to eat while he watched, and then sat by him with her hand on his head playing with his hair. She'd laughed at the dinosaur antics even harder than he had. One Halloween she'd made him a big pink hat to wear so he could be the evil Count Mungo. Why had that guy been trying to capture the dinosaurs anyway? It had never really been clear. Maybe he just liked dinosaurs. One time he'd used a shrink ray and... Holden slammed into Miller's back. The detective had stopped suddenly and now moved quickly to one side of the corridor, crouching low to keep himself in the shadows. Holden followed suit. About 30 meters ahead, the mercenary group had gotten much bigger, and it split into two factions.
Yep, Miller said. Whole lot of people having really bad days today.
Holden nodded and wiped something wet off his face. It was blood. He didn't think he'd hit Miller's back hard enough to bloody his nose, and he had a suspicion it wasn't going to stop on its own. Mucous membranes getting fragile. Wasn't that part of radiation burning? He tore strips off his shirt and stuffed them up his nostrils while he watched the scene at the end of the corridor. There were two clear groups, and they did seem to be engaged in some sort of heated argument. Normally, that would have been fine. Holden didn't care about the social lives of mercenaries. But these mercenaries, numbered by this time close to 100, were heavily armed and blocked the corridor that led to his ship. That made their argument worth watching.
Not everyone from Protogen left, I think, Miller said quietly, pointing at one of the two groups. Those guys on the right don't look like the home team.
Holden looked at the group and nodded. They were definitely the more professional-looking soldiers. Their armor fit well. The other group looked like it was largely made up of guys dressed in police riot gear, with only a few men in combat armor.
Want to guess what the argument is about? Miller asked.
Hey, can we have a ride too?
Holden said mockingly with a Ceres accent.
No, we need you guys to stay here and, keep an eye on things, which we promise will be totally safe and absolutely not involve you turning into vomit zombies.
He actually got a chuckle from Miller, and then the corridor erupted in a barrage of gunfire. Both sides of the discussion were firing automatic weapons at each other from point-blank range. The noise was deafening. Men screamed and flew apart, spraying the corridor and each other with blood and body parts. Holden dropped flat to the floor but continued watching the firefight. After the initial barrage, the survivors from both groups began falling back in opposite directions, still firing as they moved. The floor at the corridor junction was littered with bodies. Holden estimated that 20 or more men had died in that first second of the fight. The sounds of gunfire grew more distant as the two groups fired at each other down the corridor. In the middle of the junction, one of the bodies on the floor suddenly stirred and raised its head. Even before the wounded man could get to his feet, a bullet hole appeared in the middle of his face shield, and he dropped back to the floor with limp finality.
"Where's your ship?" Miller asked.
"The lift is at the end of this corridor," Holden replied. Miller spat what looked like bloody phlegm on the floor.
"And the corridor that crosses it is now a war zone, with armed camps sniping at each other from both sides," he said. "I guess we could try just running through it."
"Is there another option?" Holden asked. Miller looked at his terminal.
"We're 53 minutes past the deadline, Naomi said," he said. "How much more time do you want to waste?"
"Look, I was never particularly good at math," Holden said, "but I'd guess there are as many as 40 guys in either direction down that other corridor. A corridor which is a good 3, maybe 3.5 meters wide. Which means that we give 80 guys 3 meters worth of shots at us. Even dumb luck means we get hit a lot and then die. Let's think of a plan B. As if to underline his argument, another fusillade broke out in the cross corridor, gouging chunks out of the rubbery wall insulation and chewing up the bodies lying on the floor.
They're still withdrawing, Miller said. Those shots came from farther away. I guess we can just wait them out. I mean, if we can.
The rags Holden had stopped up his nose hadn't stopped the bleeding. They had just dammed it up. He could feel a steady trickle down the back of his throat that made his stomach heave with nausea. Miller was right. They were getting down to the last of their ability to wait anyone out at this point.
God damn, I wish we could call and see if Naomi is even there, Holden said, looking at the flashing network not available on his terminal.
Shh, Miller whispered, putting one finger on his lips. He pointed back down the corridor in the direction they'd come, and now Holden could hear heavy footsteps approaching.
Late guests to the party, Miller said, and Holden nodded.
The two men swiveled around, pointing their guns down the corridor and waiting. A group of 4 men in police riot armor rounded the corner. They didn't have their guns out, and 2 of them had their helmets off. Apparently, they hadn't heard about the new hostilities. Holden waited for Miller to fire, and when he didn't, turned to look at him. Miller was staring back.
I didn't dress real warm, Miller said, almost apologetically. It took Holden half a second to understand what he meant.
Holden gave him permission by shooting first. He targeted one of the mafia thugs without a helmet and shot him in the face, then continued firing at the group until his gun slide locked open when the magazine was empty. Miller had begun firing a split second after Holden's first shot, and also fired until his gun was empty. When it was all over, all 4 thugs were lying face down in the corridor. Holden let out a long breath that turned into a sigh, and sat down on the floor. Miller walked to the fallen men and nudged each one in turn with his foot as he replaced the magazine in his gun. Holden didn't bother reloading his. He was done with gunfights. He put the empty pistol in his pocket and got up to join the cop. He bent down and began unbuckling the least damaged armor he could find. Miller raised an eyebrow but didn't move to help.
We're making a run for it, Holden said, swallowing back the vomit and blood taste in his throat as he pulled the chest and back armor free of the first man.
But maybe if we wear this stuff, it will help.
Might, Miller said with a nod, then knelt down to help strip a second man.
Holden put on the dead man's armor, working hard to believe that the pink trail down the back was absolutely not part of the man's brain. Undoing the straps was exhausting. His fingers felt numb and awkward. He picked up the thigh armor, then put it down again. He'd rather run fast. Miller had finished buckling his on, too, and picked up one of the undamaged helmets. Holden found one with just a dent in it and slipped it onto his head. It felt greasy inside, and he was glad he had no sense of smell. He suspected that its previous occupant hadn't bathed often. Miller fiddled with the side of his helmet until the radio came on. The cop's voice was echoed a split second later over the helmet's tinny speakers as he said,
Hey, we're coming out into the corridor. Don't shoot. We're coming to join up.
Thumbing off the mic, he turned to Holden and said, Well, maybe one side won't be shooting at us now. They moved back down the corridor and stopped 10 meters from the intersection. Holden counted down from 3 and then took off at the best run he could manage. It was dishearteningly slow. His legs felt like they were filled with lead, like he was running in a pool of water, like he was in a nightmare. He could hear Miller just behind him, his shoes slapping on the concrete floor, his breath coming in ragged gasps. Then he heard only the sound of gunfire. He couldn't tell if Miller's plan had worked, couldn't tell which direction the gunfire was coming from. It was constant and deafening,
and started the instant he entered the cross corridor. When he was 3 meters from the other side, he lowered his head and jumped forward. In Eros's light gravity, he seemed to fly, and he was nearly to the other side when a burst of bullets caught him in the armor over his ribs and slammed him into the corridor wall with a spine-jarring crack. He dragged himself the rest of the way as bullets continued to hit all around his legs, one of them passing through the meaty part of his calf. Miller tripped over him, flying a few feet farther down the hall and then collapsing in a heap. Holden crawled to his side.
Still alive?
Miller nodded.
Got shot. Arms broke. Keep moving,
he gasped out. Holden climbed to his feet, his left leg feeling like it was on fire as the muscle in his calf clenched around his gaping wound. He pulled Miller up and then leaned on him as they limped toward the elevator. Miller's left arm was dangling boneless at his side, and blood was pouring off his hand. Holden punched the button to call the lift, and he and Miller leaned on each other while they waited. He hummed the Misko and Marisco theme to himself, and after a few seconds, Miller started too. Holden punched the button for the Rocinante's berth, and waited for the elevator to stop at a blank gray airlock door, with no ship beyond it. That would be when he finally had permission to lie down on the floor and die. He looked forward to that moment when his exertions could end with a relief that would have surprised him, if he'd still been capable of surprise. Miller let go of him and slid down the lift wall, leaving a blood trail on the shiny metal and ending in a pile on the floor. The man's eyes were closed. He could almost have been sleeping. Holden watched the detective's chest rise and fall in ragged, painful breaths that grew smoother and more shallow. Holden envied him, but he had to see that closed airlock door before he could lie down. He began to feel faintly angry with the elevator for taking so long. It stopped, lift doors sliding open with a cheerful ding. Amos stood in the airlock on the other side, an assault rifle in each hand and 2 belts of magazines for the rifle slung on his shoulders. He looked Holden up and down once, then glanced over to Miller and back again.
Jesus, Captain, you look like shit.